Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Mothers and Daughter Roundtable. I am your host, Dr. Bessie. Sounding really kind of strange right now. trying to make sure the switchboard is up and running, everything is going well. So you can tell I was hesitating there a little bit, so let me start that all over again. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another beautiful Saturday morning here at the roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. I just thank God for the opportunity to be able to get on the internet, to be able to speak to mothers and daughters. And the unique thing about it is that it is reaching mothers and daughters around the world. And that is good as it gets, because you can be in one spot in the U.S. and just go global. You never know who's listening, but you do know that the Holy Spirit has the power to tap in to the minds of all of humans and connect the dots. You know, sometimes people think that they have such a great audience and all the things, and it's just about I did this and I did that. No, 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 something greater than you tapped into the minds of the humans and brought them your way to listen to whatever it is that the Lord placed on your heart to say. So I am grateful for that. I thank Father. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Without Jesus, I wouldn't be able to talk to you. And without the Holy Spirit, I would not be able to be comforted and loved and just feeling all blessed each and every day, every second of the day, knowing that anything I need to know, that the Holy Spirit has all wisdom, all the answers. All I have to do is seek, and I can find anything I need to know at any given second. So with that being said, I just want to say thank you, Father, this morning for such a wonderful, wonderful day. Father, I just ask that you bless each and every human around the world. Father, we all come to you this morning. We all have different experiences, different triumphs, different things that are coming our way to challenge our journey, to try to stop us from getting back to you. And Father God, this morning, I just say thank you for Jesus. Without Jesus, we would not be able to talk to you. We would not. We would have to depend on someone else that you've chosen. But because Jesus shed his blood and took on all the stripes to heal us and to save us from sin, to give us salvation, Father God, we just thank you for that this morning. I just want you to know, I know that's how much you love us, to give your only begotten Son so that we could be saved. And this morning I pray that each and every one will find their relationship with Jesus Christ, which will lead them to you, to have a relationship with you, Father, and discover your purpose for their lives, my life, as we travel on this journey to fulfill your plan, your will, and not ours. So this morning, Father, I ask you to bless every family, the families that went through the hurricanes, families that are going through death this morning, sickness, financial problems, problems with the children, problems with addiction, problems with abuse in any way. Father God, this morning I just ask for your love to just blanket the whole world and let them know that there is peace, there is love, and there's a way out of any situation, and that's through the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today is a blessed day. I tell you, I have a show today to myself. Cynthia will not be with us today, my co-host. She is finishing up her finals. Cynthia, of course, I don't know, some of you know, some of you may not. Excuse me. She's in a PhD program, and she's doing her final studies today, yesterday and today, final test. So that she will not be with us this morning. And I'm not sure if Deborah or Frida is on. I'll check the switchboard in just a little bit. Didn't get a notice from them. But in the meantime, we're going to go on anyway. Good morning. I have good news. God speaks to mothers and daughters around the world. And please forgive my voice this morning. I do not know why. I am sort of hoarse this morning. And no, it's not a cold. It's just scratchy. I don't know what's going on. But I'm sitting here speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. When we come on Saturday mornings, the place that we try to cultivate is a place where mothers and daughters can come and nurture their relationships. You know, with mothers and daughters, we usually go to our friends. We're going to different people to ask the questions. Some people have enough experience that can give you wise counseling, and some don't. We don't claim to be the place that gives you all the wise counsel, but we are a place that love you, that will appreciate you, and that will listen to you and try to help you to tap into that thing, that power, that energy source, that authority that God has placed inside of you. I am a Christian clinical psychologist, and I do specialize in mother and daughter relationships. I've been doing this since 1999, but that still doesn't make me the expert on mother and daughter relationship. It just gives me some wisdom and some experiences. As a counselor, I've heard just about anything and everything that you possibly can think of between a mother and a daughter, or just a human being, because when they come into my office, they are coming to seek just some comfort, some wisdom. And what I do, my approach is cognitive. I help them talk their way through it. And as they're talking their way through it, the light bulb come on, they get that revelation, and all of a sudden it becomes a reality. And wow, it's like, wow, now I get it. I see it. See, I don't have the answers. I could just help you get to a place where you can discover the answers that's inside of you. Because God has given us all everything that we need to survive on earth. He didn't give it to me to guide you to the point where I got your answers. I have your answers. No, I don't. What I have is the wisdom and understanding and the word of the Holy Spirit that works through me to help lead and guide you through your intra-conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head, to help you discover how to weed through those, kind of wade through those conversations and get to the real conversation and throw those other ones out. Because what happens is that we get so many conversations, intro conversations in our head going on, that we can't really hear God. And that's the trick of the enemy. His job is to keep you so busy with intro conversations. You know, you can be praying, you know, and I think most of you can relate to this. You can be praying, having a conversation with God, just really meditating on the word. And all of a sudden, you have a conversation pop into your head, an intro conversation pop up from something that happened 30 years ago. Or a curse word may pop up. And where do you think that comes from? That's the enemy trying to break up that intro conversation that you're having with God. He does not want you to get the message. He doesn't want you to get the revelation, because if you get the revelation, that's it. It's over. The revelation shows you an image. And once you see an image, no one can stop it. So his job is to keep you flooded in your mind with intra-conversation. And that's our job, is to help you mind your mind, to help you save your soul, which is your mind. That's all we do. And so we talk about different topics just to get you to get the revelation, that aha moment that will say, wow, now I got it. That makes sense to me. I wasn't sure. Nothing can stop that. That's a done deal. You can move on to something else because you've gotten your answer there. And we based our program on Ezekiel 16:44. And I know that's a deep subject. Some people say, well, it's really not a good thing. No, it's not. I think that's why God put it in there. You know, God didn't put all the good stuff in the Bible. He put some of the worst situations there were in the Bible. So when you hear Ezekiel 16:44, he's talking about how terrible the mother was and how those terrible things that she did would influence her daughter. So it's no more than having Saul kill 3,000 Christians. You know, he didn't have to put that in there, but he showed you how bad he was, and then turned around and took that evil and turned it into good. And renamed him, gave him a name, Paul, and then what? Boom. He wrote almost two-thirds of the Bible. So, yes, Ezekiel 16:44, it says, as is the mother, so is her daughter. But read the whole chapter of Ezekiel 16. Get the fullness of it, and you'll see, yes, it is terrible. But he's trying to tell you, mother, if you do terrible things, then your daughter is going to be influenced by those things that she see, and she's looking at you, you her model. And most likely, some of those things, not all of them, because none of us get all from our mother, but we can get some that are so powerful that it could keep us from, or hinder us from becoming that person that God wants us to be, or at least hold us up until he sends someone else across our path. So you don't want to make it hard for your daughter. And we all, mothers, are not perfect. So we are learning too, because before we were mothers, we were daughters. So we had to learn from our mother. And it just goes down, 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 generation after generation. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the round table talking to mothers and daughters around the world. And to all listeners, I thank you for coming on this morning. I really, really do. I could not do it without you. I thank you for your emails. I thank you for your comments, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't have a perfect mother and daughter radio program. I'm this year. I listen to the Holy Spirit. I try to deliver what I hear. I hope that it reached someone. But, you know, if you're talking about it, it reached you. If you had a comment in any way, it could be good, bad, or indifferent, it touched you. So that's our point, just to get you thinking. If you don't mind, you can call your friends and just ask them to dial 347-539-5078 to listen to the program. You can click one and join in the conversation at any time. You know, click one and I'll come in and hear what you have to say. A lot of times, you know, radio is the most fearful thing for most people. They don't want to get, they want to put themselves out there. They're afraid that someone will recognize their voice and hear them and say, oh, that's Mary. Well, we are talking to mothers and daughters around the world. 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't recognize you. But just do whatever makes you feel good. Sit back, relax, get your pen, paper, get your favorite drink, and just listen, and God will speak to you. Something will touch your spirit. Now, a stimulating topic this morning is Wisdom for a Mother-Daughter Relationship, Part 4. And we are coming from the book Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters by Dr. Bessie Fletcher, PhD, and that's me. So God said, use the book that I've given you. So we've been using the book and talking about the various topics and subtopics in this book. And Wisdom for Mothers and Daughters Relationship Part 4, today we're going to talk about the barren woman. The barren woman. Now, I don't know if you are barren or if you have a friend that's barren, you know, but there are a lot of women that are barren. And what does that mean? So anyway, before we get into that, let's look at Good News God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. You can purchase it at our website, mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble and all the major bookstores. It's published by Layel Agency. You can go to www.layelagency.com. That's LAELAGENCY. If you need a book published, that's the place to go. All righty, now let's see where we are. If you need to contact me, of course, Dr. Bessie, you can contact me at drbessie, the number one, at gmail.com. That's drbessie1@gmail.com. Our stimulating topic today is Wisdom for Mother-Daughter Relationships, Part 4, The Barren Woman. Last week we talked about, the last 3 weeks we've been talking about wisdom for mother and daughter relationship. We talked about for mothers, and then we talked about wisdom for daughters, and we talked about wisdom for the motherless daughter, and we talked about wisdom for grandmothers and mother-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. So that brings us up to the barren woman. It has been very, very interesting when we're talking about the motherless daughter. And Cynthia brought out quite a few things because she could relate to the motherless daughter, and she could relate to, you know, being a mother-in-law to a daughter, daughter-in-law. And, you know, just being the whole nine yards of being raised by her grandmother. So we had a lot of things that became very emotional. And then we had Deborah come in and shared her take on these topics. And it just got to be phenomenal. I'm telling you, if you don't want to miss this part, you want to go back and listen to part 1, 2, and 3. Today, I'm going to carry it on with the barren woman. Now, let's see. I just want to make sure that, let me see. I can't really see if Deborah on there or not, or Frida. But we're going to talk about the barren woman. And this is in the book, Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. And this is on page 90. So, when we're talking about the barren woman, you know, I was going to do two different parts, and I said, no, I'm going to make this a topic by itself, because although I deal with mothers and daughters, and most times people think, well, she's talking to a mother and daughter when it comes in, and I said, specialize in mothers and daughters, that doesn't mean that's all that I do. I do father, son. I do people. I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. I do husband and wife. I do relationships, period. But the barren woman, how many times have I heard them cry out thinking, why did God not make me a mother? You know, I want to be a mother. You know, we all want sometimes what we don't have, and whatever we focus on, it magnifies itself. And it can get to be so huge that you can't see beyond that. And I'm not trying to minimize it or justify it, because I can only imagine what it could be not to have a child. I have one daughter, and I can't even imagine not having her in my life. I thank God every day, you know, just for the relationship that we have. We get along, we laugh, we talk, we discuss. I mean, it's just amazing, the relationship. Do we have times when we disagree? Yes. But I can guarantee you it has always been in a respectful, loving manner. never cursing at each other, never, you know, raise your voice. We've done that, but never to the point where to get to disrespect, because what I do, and I notice what she does, because then when I let her know, you know, I try not to pull the mother card, but every once in a while, mother, you know, we have to pull the mother card and bring things into focus. But, you know, we've grown as Christian women that we're past that now. That was back in the day. So when I hear a woman say, why did God forget about me? Why couldn't I have a child? I don't know. I don't have the answers. But when you look at it, we all could say, why didn't God do this for me? Because we all have, even though we may have a child, we have things that we wanted or things that we thought that God forgot about us on. God, why did you allow me to be sick for so long? Did you forget about me? You know, where were you, God? We all come up with that. It's not appropriate. We shouldn't be questioning God. But the human nature of the wait and the patience, being impatient, you know, we ask the question, whether we say it out loud or we think it in our heads, we're having these intro conversations. You know, we don't want to blame God. So it's like, you can't blame God. How are we going to blame God? Because you're kind of scared to blame God, right? You know, you're kind of feeling like, wow, how dare I question God? But and then you just get to the point sometimes you say, Lord, I'm waiting. You know, how much longer? Did you know that I need you in this area? You know, my finances, the bills are coming over me. I'm a single mom. I got the children. I don't have enough money to get the food and pay the light bill and the rent and buy their school clothes and the activities they want to participate in. Lord, what can you help me? That's one thing. But it gets really deep when something attaches itself to your body. When a disease tries to come on your body. Everything else is very, very small in comparison to that thing that is trying to take you out. This is breast cancer, Mom. And a lot of women can relate to that and knowing many survivors saying, I went there, I know I've been there, so let me support somebody else that's going through. That's when reality comes to you that nothing else is more important than your health. As they say, your health is your wealth. That's it. Your wealth is not money. Your wealth is not, I'm a motherless woman. Your wealth is your health. Because without your health, you can't help yourself or someone else. But God didn't forget about you. Now, when he had me to write this piece, I mean, I would have, probably if I was writing the book myself, I would have never thought about this. But then I wasn't writing it. God said, I want you to put these messages down. These are messages I want to speak to mothers and daughters about. And in his infinite wisdom and his love for mothers and daughters, you know, he didn't forget about you. He was saying that you are chosen by him, selected to be the mother of many children, many children. We can all have a child. And when we have a child, our love is around that child. Now, people can say what they want to say. Oh, I love her like she's my own child. But if it came down to saying, okay, we're going to kill one of these children, even though you love both of them, there is an attachment to that child that you carried for 9 months that you brought into this world that will make you want to say, not this one. And that just reminds me of the two mothers that came, and one lost the baby and tried to take the baby of the other lady, and they got in front of the king and says, no, this is my baby. And the lady said, no, this is my baby. And the king didn't know, because both of them recently had a baby around the same time. So he said, all right, let's just lay the baby down, and we're going to cut the baby in half. And we'll give half to you and half to her. Well, see, that love, that innate love from the mother that really had that child, couldn't even bear that thought. She said, no, 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 no. Let her have him. But the other lady didn't say it. She didn't respond. And he knew if she was the mother, she would respond. That's a motherly thing to do. And he said, give it to her. It's her baby, which was the correct mother. So when God chose a barren woman, think about it. If you are a woman that has not had a child of your own, how many children have come in and out of your life? How many children, think about it, nieces, nephews, children in the neighborhood, if you're a school teacher, children at school, your friends' children, you know, you're surrounded by different personalities, different nationalities. You are a nurturer to many children. Each of us has a role to play, and we don't get to choose that role. God decides what role we play. He created you, so you are not your own. You are owned by God. He created you. He created you for his purpose. He created you for his enjoyment. And think about it. He didn't even really have to create you. He created you out of love. So he loved you so much that he's given you a love to nurture many children. And I know women like that, that are school teachers that just love and dote on children and just give them that extra that they need. Because a lot of times children are not getting that love at home. They're missing that. And they love coming to school because they love their teacher. They love the love and the nurturing that they get from this particular person. Or they like going up the street and talking to one of the ladies in the neighborhood and hanging out at her house. Why? Because they love to be in that energy and that feeling that they get of love from that person. And it doesn't necessarily mean that mothers are not loving their children, but they're getting something else that they need, and this particular lady has it. That's why they hang out there. You don't want to hang out at a place that doesn't make you feel good, that you don't feel nurtured. So much children, when they go someplace, you better believe they're having a good time. They're learning something. They're experiencing something. They just love being in the present. And that brings us back to the book where God told Sarah, or told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Sarah was barren. Beautiful lady. Gorgeous. They said, I mean, she was something to look at. And when he told her that she was going to have a child, of course she kind of laughed and sniggered. She's like, me? Have a child? At this age? Well, see, God has the plan. You don't have the plan. But you can abort the plan by rejecting the plan. And if God told you, mother, and you have not had a child yet, if God told you that you were going to have a child and you believe that, you will have a child before you leave this earth. Well, I want to have the child now. I want to have my child before I'm 30. Oh, my God, I'm getting close to 40. Well, I don't want to have a child after 40. Why not? You're still breathing. You have wisdom. God planned it that way. Why did he plan it that way? I don't know, and you don't know. But there's a testimony in that for someone else. There is a testimony that will give God the glory. So if you're 40, 50, some women, and we've heard women having babies at 60-some years old. The last one I heard was about 66. Lady had babies for her daughter to raise. I thought that was different. But, hey, who am I to say? That's what she wanted to do. That's what she did, and God granted it. So as a barren mother, look at all the good, all the love that's in your heart, the nurturing, and give that away. Give that away. But like I said, if God told you that he is going to give you a child, believe it. Once you believe it, you will receive it. But if you keep saying, when God, when, then you prolong receiving it. See? And then we wonder why God is not moving fast. It's because we have doubt. He says, only faith moves me, not doubt. So every time you have doubt, you stop the process. You stop the motion. It's coming towards you. But doubt doesn't move God. Doubt stops God in his tracks. And I know you might say, how can God be stopped in his tracks? That's his word. I'm moved by faith. Only faith moves me. So if only faith moves him, you think doubt moves him? You think he don't know what he's saying? You think he's talking out of his head? He don't know? He's telling you, if you have faith, I can move on your behalf. But if you have doubt, then you shut me down. I can't move. And that's what happened to Sarah and Abraham. Abraham, pretty much content. And we know how this goes, ladies. We want to run the show. We want it to go our way or no way. I'm not saying all of us. I'm just saying some of us. I've been there, done that. Doesn't work well for you in the long run. But she was tired of waiting. She didn't really trust God. She's like, well, God said it, but he hasn't done it. And so, you know what? We are just getting too old. I can't have a baby. So I have a beautiful handmaiden here. I want you to go into her. I want you to conceive your son. That was her way of giving him a son. Now he could have had a daughter, but you see how wise God is? God said, oh, okay, I'm going to watch you do this. I told him that I'm going to give him a son, but no, because you're barren, because you feel that you know more than me, Sarah, I'm going to give him a son. I'm going to let this child be a son. He could have said, no, I'm going to give her a daughter. I'm going to let Hagar have a daughter. But no, he granted a son. And I'm sure he did that for a purpose. And Abraham, knowing what God had said, talking to God, every day he and God having conversations. Communicating. Was he convinced by his wife to do this, or was this something in the back of his mind that he wanted to do? We'll never know. But he agreed to do it. And all I'm trying to show you, being barren doesn't mean you have to be anxious, doesn't mean that you have to go ahead of God, because you can't go ahead of God. He has the plan. He only gives you just a snippet of what your part is in this plan. It's huge. So Abraham goes in and they have a baby with the handmaiden. And just like most women, when you have two women in the house together, it's hard to get along. It's that energy of competition, jealousy, whatever it is that comes up. Now you got two women and a man in a house together.
tent, really. And one woman wanting to have a baby. I'm barren, feeling less. And back in those days, you really was looked down at if you couldn't have a child, especially a son. So this was her way to make herself feel better because she was barren and she could not wait on God. God was just taking too long. So now they have the son, Abraham, the son, the handmaiden, the wife. And the handmaiden says, oh, I can move you out. I'm a younger woman. I have this firstborn son. I'm in position. I can move you out. So she started acting out. She started, you know, getting her attitude. You know how that goes. And all of a sudden, Sarah says some choice words and told Abraham she has got to go. Well, Abraham must have really loved Sarah because he was like, okay, you got to go. You got to take your son with you, you know. And I'm saying all this to say, had she waited on God, could she have had her baby 12 years earlier? But because she did this, then God stopped speaking to Abraham. Can you imagine not being able to talk to God? I can't even imagine that. I can't. I mean, what do? You're walking around all day in a stillness. You cannot speak to God. Some people say, well, I never talk to God. Yes, you do. You're having conversations with God all the time. You can say what you want to. Any conversations going on in your head, you are talking, God hears you, and you're talking to God. Because if something comes up, you're going to be, oh, God, I need your help. Just let something come up. The first thing you call on is God. So now Abraham can't talk to God. He's thinking, oh, my God, I have messed up. What do I do? He's looking at Sarah, Haggai, the son, Ishmael. And now he has a situation. But then once Ishmael was out of the house, they restored themselves, repent. God came back into conversations with Abraham. She was 90 years old, and she conceived a child, Abraham 100. But in the back of my mind, I said, if she had not manipulated the situation, she possibly could have had Isaac when she was 78 instead of 90. Which, you know, I mean, 12 years, but that's still, to us, you know, that's still old to have a baby. But what is old? Nothing is. See, we're talking about earthly age, but in God's sight, we're still his children, and all things are possible. So, barren mother, what I'm saying to you is, if God told you you're going to have a child, believe it. If he didn't tell you, and you asking him for a child, wait on the answer. But in the meantime, love the children that God placed before you. Enjoy nurturing, enjoy sharing the wisdom, your experiences of life. Educate somebody. Bring up a whole new generation. Because I'm telling you, how many times have we heard grown people say, I remember Miss Jones when we were little. Miss Jones would always get us. Sometimes Miss Jones would have to spank us. You know, I could name women in my neighborhood. And my mother and I'm an only child. And I thought I had the most loving parents. I didn't have, you know, they doted on me, and I manipulated them to get whatever I want. And I was just doing all kinds of stuff. But it was people in the neighborhood that we loved to hang out at. Miss Ernestine house. We would go, all of the girls, we were young girls, you know, 9, 10 years old, hanging out at Miss Ernestine's house. And our parents, they, especially my mother, you know, they didn't want to tell me about your period and this, that, and the other. So Ms. Ernestine was the one that educated us about boys and not having sex and what to do when your period came on, all kinds of things. We went to Ms. Ernestine's house, hung out with her, and she was the age of our parents. But she was the one that would just educate us. And at that time, she really was a young woman, because my mother was probably only 28 years old or something like that. So she was around 28, 30, so, or 27, somewhere along in there. So, you know, that was still young. But we would hang out there, and she had no children. She never did have any children. But we all just loved going to her house, you know. And I can remember different ones that houses that we went to that even if they had children, they actually poured into us. And that's what they did. When they came to our house, you know, the girls came to my house. My mother would sit down and talk to them. We would tell, she'd tell us different stories. We got that from house to house. That is, that's why they say it takes a community to raise up a child. And that's the truth. And that's what we're lacking today. We are not sharing. We are not doing that community love, that community education. And as a barren woman, that is the role that God selected for you. And it's a very powerful role, and it's an honor. But then again, we have to ask ourselves, now, is it God? Is it God? Is he the reason that you are barren? Is that what you're thinking? Oh, God has selected me to be barren? Or did you do something or did something to cause yourself to be barren? You know, sometimes people have abortions. Sometimes you've been sick. Things happen. And then now you can't have a child. Well, do we blame God for that? Now, God certainly can correct that if he wants to. Repentance and forgiveness, God can correct that. But regardless of what, you better know he did not forget about you. He did not walk away and say, you know, oh, my God, I forgot. She has not had a baby. No. He created you to nurture many nationalities, to fill in where there is little to no love in a child's life, to be there for the motherless child. God didn't forget about you. You're in the midst of his plan. He knows every strand of hair on your head. Now, if he knows that, you know he knows that you are a woman that has not had a child. So it's not a surprise to him. Why did he decide to do it or not do it? We don't know. Just like anything else, we can ask the question, why? But it's not ours to ask. We have to trust God. And like I said, if God told you you're going to have a child, believe him. Believe him. Because you will have that child. And in Mark 11:22, that's where it comes back to have faith in God. Because God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. You don't have to worry about it. He's going to do it because he said it. He's not a man that lies. And in here he says that, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. He's talking to Abraham. He said, I will bless her and she shall be the mother of nations, king of people shall be from her, kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear your son, and you will call him Isaac. See, they had doubt. they had doubt. But see, God had a plan, because he made Abraham the father of all nations. But in Psalms 11:3-9, it says, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. See, he didn't forget about you. He gave you a special position, and that was to mother all types, all ages, all nationalities, a rainbow coalition of children. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show for today. Keep in mind, if you are a barren woman, you were handpicked, selected specially by God to serve in that role, and no better role than to serve in the role that God has chosen for each of us. Whether we think we like it or not, once we can accept it and embrace it, peace, joy, love, happiness, forgiveness, all the fruit will live in your life, and you'll have peace, and you'll enjoy what God has given you. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.